WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Officials report progress making repairs to Harrisonburg's water treatment plant, but water restrictions remain. Governor Youngkin ignores the House clerk's rejection of some of his vetoes. And will changes in Washington cause more people to leave Virginia than arrive? This is the WMRA Daily for Monday, May 19th. As of early this morning, mandatory water conservation measures continue in Harrisonburg. The city said Sunday on its Public Works Facebook page that repair crews had made progress over the weekend in repairing damage to its water plant from last week's storms. Officials said the plant is nearing the capacity to run at full service, but until then, they still ask residents to use water wisely, including not running water while brushing your teeth, not filling up backyard swimming pools, wait to wash your car. Well, that's because heavy rains in the area last week washed large amounts of sediment into the city's raw water supply, prompting the city to issue a local emergency declaration on Friday. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee has the details.
The Harrisonburg City Council held a special meeting Friday afternoon where they approved a local emergency declaration due to the effects of severe weather on the water treatment plant. While city leaders said the water currently coming out of the taps is safe to drink and use, they have instituted a mandatory water conservation notice, asking community members to reduce non-essential water use through actions like taking shorter showers and not watering their lawns or gardens. According to the National Weather Service, parts of Harrisonburg and Rockingham County have received more than 2.5 inches of rain in the last 72 hours. This washed large amounts of sediment into the city's water treatment system, and public utilities workers have struggled to clean that water since the morning of May 14th. City Manager Andy Banks read an overview of the crisis in the declaration.
This triggered a complete plant shutdown and no production of new potable water for 24 hours, and a need to rely on the city's potable water storage and Rockingham County's potable water. Water production at the water treatment plant was partially restored beginning May 15 by using different treatment techniques. However, the turbidity's continued lack of responsiveness to traditional chemical treatment techniques limits the ability to fully restore production.
Turbidity describes the amount of particles suspended in the water, and that measure is still too high.
As of the morning of May 16, the city's water supply in storage is greatly diminished, and Rockingham County can no longer assist the city with supplying potable water to city customers. Additional high turbidity water could enter our system due to the prediction of more heavy rain over the next several days.
The local emergency declaration streamlines the procurement process the municipality has to follow for obtaining things like extra materials or labor at the treatment plant, or in the case of a dire shortage, bottled water for distribution to the community. Mike Collins, the director of public utilities, explained that both of the city's raw water sources, the North and Dry Rivers, have been affected by large amounts of
materials like silt, clay, organics, inorganics, materials that are present in our water.
He said their typical chemical treatment process for removing these particles has not been as effective as usual, especially since the repeated rains keep reintroducing more sediment into the water supply. The Encyclopedia Britannica explains that water treatment systems typically introduce a chemical coagulant into the water to bring small suspended particles together in larger masses so they can be removed. The city's raw water supply management plan notes that the North River has been historically susceptible to a wide range in turbidity that requires heavier use of coagulation chemicals.
To retain our safe drinking water status, we've had to either interrupt or reduce the output from the water treatment plant beginning May 15th.
Michael Parks, Harrisonburg's Director of Communications and Public Engagement, said they currently have between 7 and 8 million gallons of already treated water in storage.
We typically have 17 million gallons in storage at one time, and on a traditional day in the city, we would use 10 to 12 million gallons. The plant is functioning at a reduced limit. We are treating water. We are keeping up with that 7 to 8 million gallons in storage, but it's very important that we keep these conservation measures in place because if something were to change, we could run out of that water supply very quickly.
Rockingham County did give some of their excess water to the city, but that assistance has run out. Park said he was not aware of any other localities in the region that had been affected to this degree. either because of where and how the rain fell, or because some, like Rockingham County, rely on groundwater sources, in contrast to the surface water the city gets from rivers.
We have reached out to all of our local heavy users of our water system to advise them of what is taking place and let them know that there could be a possibility that where we would ask more from them. Some businesses have their own water storage on site, some use reclaimed water, and everyone that we've spoken to has been very mindful of their impacts on our local water supply. And we're grateful for that.
He said that included agricultural and industrial businesses in town. Following the emergency declaration vote, city council members, including Laura Dent, thanked city staff for responding to the crisis and community members for not wasting water.
To reiterate, the water is safe to drink. It's just the more we can conserve, the more readily we can bring the whole water treatment system back online.
The city will continue to post updates on their Facebook and X or Twitter pages. For WMRE News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
Governor Glenn Youngkin is ignoring claims by Virginia's House clerk that some of his final actions in the 2025 legislative session were done improperly. And that's not as uncommon as you might think. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner reports.
These vetoes will stand, and that's how we're going to run the executive branch going forward.
That's a defiant Governor Glenn Youngkin responding to rulings made by House Clerk Paul Nardo, which could make some of his line item vetoes invalid. Virginia's governor has unique power with his veto pen, the ability to strike things from the final budget before he signs it. But there's some limits to that power, set in the state's constitution and narrowed by state courts. One of Youngkin's three flubs, according to Nardo, involved nixing changes to rules for Medicaid recipients to qualify for new weight loss drugs. Senate Majority Leader Scott Surivel noted it's not the first time clerks have tried to wrangle an improper veto. At least two Virginia governors, Mills Godwin and Jim Gilmore, faced similar rebukes. And Nardo sent a similar missive to then-Governor Terry McAuliffe when he tried to veto language related to Medicaid expansion in 2017. No legal fights ensued then. It was McAuliffe's last year in office, and insiders say legal fights are unlikely now, as Youngkin has only about 6 months left in his single term. Still, Surivel used the opportunity to take a shot at the lame duck governor.
He doesn't seem to understand how government works. And that's just, it's disturbing.
As for the would-be veto change in weight loss drug access, its author, Delegate Rodney Willett, said he was disappointed but hopes the agency responsible will follow the letter of the law.
This was just a win-win, and we had, again, bipartisan support.
Willett said he'd push for the change again next year if needed. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Will changes in Washington cause more people to leave Virginia than arrive? Also with Virginia Public Radio, Michael Pope has the forecast.
Outmigration is when more people leave Virginia than move here, and it may be on the horizon if the new administration in Washington continues to slash the federal workforce and dramatically downsize government. Eric Scorsone is executive director of the Weldon Cooper Center for Public Service at the University of Virginia.
People might decide to leave Virginia to look for jobs elsewhere, for example. There might be some form of brain drain. So there are some definite things we've seen in other parts of the country. When, say, the Midwest economies slow down a lot, people start moving to Texas, for example, or other states. So one potential negative implication would be out-migration from the state.
Demographics researcher Hamilton Lombard says Virginia only recently turned the corner and started adding more people than it lost.
Last year, we got back to having more people coming into Virginia than going out, but it wasn't driven by North Virginia. North Virginia saw a very small recovery, still a lot of out-migration. What drove it was a lot more people moving into places like Martinsville, Bristol, the Northern Neck, fewer people leaving the coalfield area. So basically more balanced growth in Virginia.
Now that trend of balanced growth might be changing. The prediction from the Weldon Cooper Center is that Virginia could lose 30,000 jobs as a result of the downsizing in Washington. Michael Pope.
And finally today, U.S. Senators John Warner and Tim Kaine have joined 27 of their Senate colleagues in introducing a resolution to help Gaza. The resolution urges the Trump administration to mobilize all available diplomatic tools to break the Israeli blockade that has prevented life-saving assistance from reaching Palestinian civilians. The measure comes amid reports of a worsening humanitarian disaster, with tens of thousands of children at risk of starvation and thousands already suffering from acute malnutrition. As of early this morning, the BBC was reporting that Israel was allowing some aid into Gaza. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Monday.